Shall I call by the key?
Yes.
Shall I call by the key?
Yes.
Shall I call by the key?
Yes.
Kiri Raj Maharaj ki?
Yes.
Jai Nitai Go Premanande? Okay, so tonight we'll continue with chapter 7 of Bhakti Vaibhav, of the sixth canto. We did verses 1 to 17 last week, and this week we will do verses 18 to 40. We'll finish the chapter. It's not so many purposes. So. Does anyone remember what we discussed from our previous class? Last week we were discussing this pastime with Lord Indra. And we have something. Any other points? They have to come in late. Any other points?
If one identifies the abnormal mutation, he immediately rectifies and takes steps to rectify.
Even if he offends a
junior.
Any other points? Anything else? Anything else? Okay. So, we discussed that Brihaspati entered into the assembly of the demigods, King Indra's court. Indra was sitting on his throne with his wife, Sachi Devi, and he was being worshipped by all types of demigods. When Brihaspati, who was the guru of Indra and the guru of the demigods, entered, because Indra was feeling proud of his opulence and his potency, he failed to offer respect to Brihaspati. Brihaspati, in order to teach Indra a lesson, he simply left the assembly in silence and disappeared. So then Indra realized he'd made a mistake. He left the assembly and he tried to find Brihaspati, but he could not find Brihaspati anywhere. Therefore, he was in a state of deep lamentation. So tonight we'll go from verses 18 to 40. Because yeah. There's not so many purports, so we can cover those out there. And we will discuss the remainder of this chapter. It's a very interesting last time. So as we discussed last week, the main, you could say, emphasis in this particular pastime is that one should not commit offences to devotees. One should not offend Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls this offence the Hati Mata offence, the mad elephant offence. It can destroy all of one's... It blocks your devotional progress. When you offend devotees, then Krishna stops giving his mercy. It's not that you lose the spiritual advancement that you've made generally, but it means you cannot access it for a period of time. So therefore you will feel a lack of taste for devotional service or chanting for these things. So this will be discussed in more detail in this pastime. This was discussed already in the fourth canto quite elaborately in the pastime of the Daksha Yajna, the opening pastime of the fourth canto. Now it is being repeated again in the sixth canto, in this pastime of Indra. And the Bhagavatam will repeat it again and again in order to demonstrate to us the necessity of avoiding offences to devotees. So we'll continue from verse 18 onwards. Hearing of the pitiable condition of Lord Indra, the demons, following the instructions of their guru, Shukracharya, equipped themselves with weapons and declared war against the demigods. The demigods' heads, thighs and arms and other parts of their bodies were injured by the sharp arrows of the demons. The demigods, headed by Indra, saw no other cause than to immediately approach Lord Brahma with bowed heads for shelter and proper instruction. When the most powerful Lord Brahma saw the demigods coming toward him, their bodies gravely injured by the arrows of the demons, he pacified them by his great causeless mercy and spoke as follows. Lord Brahma said, O best of the demigods, unfortunately, because of madness resulting from your material opulence, you failed to receive Brihaspati properly when he came to your assembly. Because he is aware of the Supreme Brahman and fully in control of his senses, he is the best of the Brahmanas. Therefore, it is very astonishing that you have acted impudently toward him. Shri Radha Vallabha, why don't you come on time? If you're going to come, you come on time. What's the nonsense? Coming late, not excusable.
Radha Vallabha. Lord Brahma recognized the grammatical complication of the expression. Who was the spiritual master of the demigods because of his awareness of the Supreme Brahman? Brihaspati was very much in control of his senses and mind, and therefore he was a most qualified Brahmana. Lord Brahma described the demigod for not properly respecting this Brahmana, who was their guru. Lord Brahma wanted to impress upon the demigods that one's guru should not be disrespected under any circumstances. When Brihaspati entered the assembly of the demigods, they and their king, Indra took him for granted. Since he came every day, they thought they did not need to show him special respect. It is said familiarity breeds contempt. Being very much displeased, Brihaspati immediately left Indra's palace. Thus all the demigods headed by Indra became offenders at the lotus feet of Brihaspati, and Lord Brahma, being aware of this, condemned their neglect. In a song written every day, Narottam Das Thakur says, Chakshudar Vimale Jani Jani Guru says, the Guru gives spiritual insight to the disciple, and therefore the Guru should be considered his master. Life after death, upon no circumstance should the Guru be disrespected, but the demigods be fucked up by their material position. They disrespectful to their Guru. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.17.27 advises Acharyam Mam Vijnanam Namanyatya Karasit. na nitya na natya but the acharya should always be offered respectable obeisances. One should never envy the acharya, considering him as an ordinary human being.
So Mataji, you see that, Mataji, you see the string touching the ground? See the string? Yeah. Even the string should not touch the ground, because this is the opposite of the deities. So you have to be very careful. Okay, so what are the points in this first paragraph? What are the points?
One thing that brings to mind, which is very striking for me, is familiarity with content. And actually, I think I thought of an example where we were serving Abdul Maharaj in and we were there for 3 weeks. And there were quite a few devotees who were actually going in and in out of the room and actually serving Guru Maharaj quite a bit. And what had happened was Guru Maharaj noticed one of the devotees who actually sort of started coming back and forth, and Guru Maharaj actually corrected him. So whenever you enter the room, you have to bow down and actually really sort of say obeisance before coming in. And that actually opened all of our eyes to this one, because we were virtually doing the same thing, and he corrected us. And that was a very striking moment. For a non-devotee to see something like that, I mean, they would think that, oh, this person is holding some sort of respect, that this is something that a devotee should be doing every time without faith. So that's where we learn.
Sometimes we go down quite often. The Maharaj said, no. So you don't have to get no, you must do it.
No, it means you have to follow the instruction of the guru. It's like sometimes the guru or the sannyasis will say, only offer obeisances at the beginning of the day and the end of the day. Or if you're coming out of the room again and again and again, just do it the first time and the last time. Or sometimes they might say do it every time. So whatever they say, you follow it. Any other point? Come forward, I'm sorry. Anything else? So, the first point is that the demigods have made their mistake. So what do they do to rectify their mistake? They approach Lord Brahma. So this is how we gain relief from our distress or our suffering. We approach a great personality, a Mahatma, or a great soul. And by approaching someone who is highly qualified, immediately our distress will be relieved. So that is the test of a great soul. Just by their association, by their mercy, they will relieve us of all of our distress. So Brahma is giving shelter to the demigod, and now he will give them advice on how to rectify their defect, their offensive mentality. So, why do we not offer respect to superiors? It is because of envy. Because we envy Krishna, ultimately, we fail to offer proper respect. This is why we came to the material world originally. Prabhupada says, originally we were all Krishna conscious. But then we have forgotten Krishna, since time immemorial. Now what is it that separates us from Krishna? It is envy, matsara. Which means that we feel some jealousy towards Krishna as being the object of everyone's affection and worship. And when someone is given affection and worship and not ourselves, then that is envy. That's when we feel envy. So we become envious towards others, and then we fail to offer them proper respect. We think, I don't have to respect this person, because deep within our heart, we're thinking, actually, the respect should come towards me. So I will belittle their position, or I'll fail to offer proper respect. So it is because of envy that we do not respect superior personality. So ultimately, Indra, because he has come into this material world, he is a devotee, but still he is a conditioned soul, then he still has some envy within his heart, and he fails to offer proper respect to Brihaspati. So sometimes we do like that. We become proud of our material position. And being proud of our material position, then we don't offer proper respect to someone who is spiritually more qualified than us. So that is why Queen Kunti says, Jan Maishraya Shruta Bhikshubhya, do not become bewildered by these things. Because a great person is not someone who has material opulence, but real qualification is someone who has spiritual assets or opulence. So we should offer respect to those who are more qualified than us spiritually. So, unfortunately, Lord Indra became envious of Brihaspati, and he became bewildered by his material position, and then he did not offer proper respect to Brihaspati, and now he's got himself into deep trouble, and now he has to go to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma is pointing this out to him. So then, Prabhupada explained that respect to the guru is the basis of spiritual life. This is how we make advancement in spiritual life. The more we offer respect, worship, service, affection, love to the guru, the more we progress spiritually. One time, one of the devotees said to Prabhupada something to the effect that, Prabhupada, do you know Krishna? Prabhupada said, I only know my spiritual master. I do not know Krishna. I only know my spiritual master. So this is the attitude of the devotee, of the disciple. Because for us, we don't know Krishna. But our only qualification can be that we develop some sort of attachment to the spiritual master, who is Krishna's representative. And by serving the spiritual master properly, then we can advance properly in spiritual life. So spiritual life is dependent upon becoming attached to the service of the spiritual master. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that the service of the guru is the life and soul of the disciple. Prabhupada says the order of the spiritual master is the pride of the disciple. The disciple, his pride is the instructions which is given by his spiritual master. The spiritual master gives instructions and he says, if these instructions are given to me, general instructions which you hear in classes or specific instructions which you are given, the disciple cherishes those instructions in the heart and he meditates on those instructions and always tries to fulfill those instructions. And this is his life and soul. Just like Prabhupada, his life and soul was the mission, the instructions he received from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada said, I don't know Krishna, I know my spiritual master. Prabhupada also said that we will not see Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. We will see Krishna in the order of the spiritual master. We don't have to become artificially, try to make advancement in Krishna consciousness artificially by thinking that we will jump to very high or esoteric states of consciousness very quickly, or we'll try to go straight to Vrindavan very quickly. No, but rather we will serve the order of the spiritual master. And by pleasing the spiritual master, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasada Nagadikato, by serving the spiritual master, by pleasing him, then you will become attached to Krishna. You will receive Krishna's mercy, Krishna will reveal himself to you. You will attain Krishna eventually. So then, if the guru shows displeasure, it is to educate us. Just like Brihaspati showed displeasure. Why did he show displeasure to Indra? Right? To educate Indra, to enlighten Indra, to correct him. So sometimes the spiritual master chastises. One time Giriraj Maharaj, he said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how should we feel? Sometimes you are very heavy. Sometimes your chastisements are very forceful, very heavy. How should we feel when we receive those kind of chastisements? Prabhupada says that you should feel very fortunate that someone cares about you enough that they are willing to correct you. So if we receive chastisement or correction from the guru, we accept that as being the guru's mercy, and it is meant to improve us in our devotional service. So, Brihaspati has shown his displeasure to Indra in order to improve him. Indra is very pious, so immediately he improves himself. So we should not see the spiritual master as an ordinary person. Just like Yogeshwara Govindaprabhu was just saying, that he told the Stripe of Takaswami and pointed out to the devotees, you should offer your respect to the guru whenever you see him. Otherwise, you will commit offences. So you need to have this mentality. Now, in the Skanda Purana, it is mentioned there are six types of offences towards Vaishnavas, or six types of Vaishnava aparadha, which are there. We went through this in Canto 4, but that may have been... It was at least 3 years ago, I think. That's a long time ago. So we should go over this again. And some people weren't there back then. So then, the first offence, which is mentioned, is to not feel joy upon seeing a devotee. Even if you don't feel happy when you see a devotee, sometimes you see a devotee you haven't seen for a long time, they don't look happy when they see you. Or they may do the opposite thing. The face is the index of the mind. And sometimes the devotee, he feels, you can see they feel displeased when they see you. This is actually an offence to the devotee. It's a small offence, but it's an offence, because it makes the devotee feel bad. You should be happy when you see the devotees. And you should make them feel very pleased when they see you. The second offence is to fail to offer respect or obeisances. To properly respect the Vaishnava, not to offer obeisances to a devotee. When you see the devotee, you should offer respectful obeisances. You should offer respect. So to fail to offer the respect, it means we are envious of that person if we don't offer proper respect to the devotee. The third offence is to get angry at the devotee. You have to be very careful of becoming angry at the devotee unnecessarily, even if they are your family members. Even if they are your brothers, or your sons, or your nephews, or your children, or your wife, or your husband. You have to be very careful about this point, becoming angry at the devotee. One should not become angry at the devotee in general. That should be the principle. What's that? Then that is called jiva aparadha. Okay. Then still you're committing offense, because they're part and parcel of Krishna. But especially towards devotees, you have to be very careful. Okay. Then the fourth offense is? The envious devotee. The envious of some devotees. If you're feeling envy in the heart, and then what will take place? You'll commit all these offences. Number five, to blaspheme devotees. Very often devotees get together, and because they are not so advanced, when neophyte devotees associate, what do? They commit offences towards other devotees. Because they speak prajalpa, they speak gossip, they get together and they say, oh, what about this devotee and what about that devotee? Gramya katha, and they commit offences. And the sixth offence is to kill a devotee. Please do not do it. Please do not do it. Okay. So this means you have to be very angry to do something like that. But what's an example of someone who tried to kill a devotee? Hirani Kashipu tried to kill Bhakta Prabhupada. So this is an example of a heavy Vaishnava aparad. And then what happened when Hirani Kashipu tried to kill Bhakta Prabhupada? The sum total of God's anger manifested. Complete anger manifested. Don't make God angry. You don't want to see him when he's angry. so frightening. The demigods could not even go near it. They were so frightened. So these are six parts of offences. Which is a lot of good to memorize. So. Any points so far?
One of
these,
like 1 to 5,
is
it equivalent to killing
the demigod? What do you think? What do you think?
I say yes.
What do you think is worse? So you just answered your question. What is worse, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6? Which one would you most like not to happen to you?
Not.
So you just answered your question. Anything else you want to know? Any other points?
So, as you said, like, the instructions of the spiritual master, we have to take as a life and so on. Sometimes, you see, we will not directly get the instructions from the guru. So, as a disciple, what we have to take instruction from the lectures of the guru, take internal instructions, or
the vows that you take in initiation and the first instructions that you receive from the guru. You will chant every day 16 rounds, you will not have to use sex, take intoxication, gamble, eat flesh, meat, eggs, onion, garlic, mushrooms.
So those are the demons.
They're the general instructions. And then you listen to the guru's lectures and you'll get more instruction from the guru's lectures. Okay. So most of Prabhupada's disciples didn't get very many personal instructions from Prabhupada. Most of them heard his lectures. Or you read Prabhupada's book. Okay. Any other points?
A lot of people are very much dishonest and they have a grievance against you, but they are still part of your business.
Then you should kill them.
But what we have to offer them provisions of insight. You don't have to, because they are not qualified to get provisions from you. So they might think, oh, so he's a weak.
Just be respectful. Yeah. And don't let people take advantage of you. That's the point. Don't let people. Prabhupada wouldn't let people cheat him. Prabhupada went outside the temple in Vrindavan and he said to the rickshaw wallah, how much for the rickshaw to Lloyd Bazaar? And the rickshaw wallah said, too much. So Prabhupada just walked off. And the rickshaw wallah chased him down the road like that. So don't let people cheat you. Prabhupada didn't like this. Devotees should not be cheated. You should not be cheated. Because the money belongs to Krishna. So don't be cheated. In business, don't be cheated. Be respectful to people, but don't let them cheat. That's all. Any other points? Didn't you have a point?
Apparently there is some wrongdoing on the part of one devotee. So apparently a devotee is cheated from another devotee. Which offering is it to follow in the number 6?
What's
the
offense? Probably number 2. To not offer respect, maybe. Maybe number 4.
And another point is the offense number 4 and the offense number 1 appear to me like they are mental offenses in the mind. Not the jerk in the same way, but in the same way. They say that in Kaluga, the offense of the mind can stop. Is that still the case here?
To not show joy, then that's the manifestation. So it's not just in the mind, it's actually a physical. If you fail to do something physically, yeah, so it means that that's an offense. That's taken as an offense.
And envy,
envy, we can do so many things to display our envy. So many things we can do to show our envy. like that. And if envy is in the heart, it will come out. Generally, don't do business with friends.
Devotee friends.
But devotee friends, especially. Generally, not 100%, but generally don't do it. Also with family. Generally don't do it. Like that. Because you just see time and time again, it just causes problems. I've seen in my own family, it just causes problems. So I just keep myself separate from my family. I love them, I like them, but I don't want to do business with them.
Well, it's desperate.
Anyway, you work it out, but the point is, generally, don't do these things. Even with friends, generally, I've seen devotees go into businesses together, ruin their friendships. And it's just because of the nature of the material world. Money has a special potency. You know, money makes things very complicated. Like that's just, better just believe it. As much as possible. What's that?
Fast dealing with Elsa.
Generally just don't do it. Generally. Someone else has that? No, that's not the reason. You just have to be very careful when you associate with the advanced community. You don't become familiar. Just be very careful. Doesn't mean you shouldn't associate with them, just means be very careful. Any other points? Because of your misbehavior towards Brihaspati, you are being defeated by the demons. My dear demigod, since the demons were weak, having been defeated by you several times, how else could you, who were so advanced in opulence, be defeated by them? So Prabhupada explains in the purport that when you disrespect your superior, all auspiciousness is lost. So Vedic culture is based upon respecting one's superiors. And if we fail to do so, it says in the Shastra that you will lose all good qualities. Good qualities are lost, longevity is lost, health is lost, wealth is lost, general auspiciousness, it is lost. So it is, in a culture society, a culture society is seen by offering respect to the superiors. And especially in Krishna consciousness, it is necessary to offer respect to the superiors. And if one does that, then he remains protected by Krishna. If one disrespects the superior, then it's impossible to make spiritual advancement. Your spiritual advancement will always be impaired. It will be very slow. It will be very difficult for you to progress in Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, if you please advanced Vaishnavas, you can get special mercy from Krishna. I know myself, several times I've been in the holy Dham, and I've just happened to get a favorable glance from a very senior Vaishnava, and so much has happened from that glance. I remember one time, I was chanting japa next to Govardhan Hill, near the end of Govardhan Hill, near Kunchuri, a very secluded place. And then I was chanting, and then I saw on the Parikram Marg, I saw some devotees coming, maybe four or five devotees walking. One of them was a sannyasi, and I just had the feeling it was a Niskan devotee. So I kept chanting until they got close, and I looked up, and it was His Holiness Indrajumna Swami. He was walking with some disciples, just doing Parikram. And he just looked at me, and as soon as he saw me, because he recognized I was a Niskan devotee, he just smiled. And from that moment, so many things happened in my spiritual life. Just by that one glance of a pure devotee glances at you favorably, so much can be benedicted by Krishna. Similarly, if a pure devotee, a very advanced devotee, looks at you unfavorably, just looks at you unfavorably, I also had that happen to me in Vrindavan. That an advanced devotee looked at me unfavorably, because I'd obviously done something to displease him, and so many negative things took place. So both things can happen. Just by the glance like that. So this is the potency of the advanced Vaishnava. So we must satisfy our superiors. And by satisfying our superiors, then you can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. By not satisfying them, then so much you can. Any other points?
Good to actually cultivate the second nature in oneself, so that no matter who the other person is, whether it's a devotee or non devotee, automatically you can show the rest of it. And that's the
point.
I wanted to ask a question. When we are doing our duty, for example, we've been designated to the temple or something, and the duty, for example, Janmashtami, we are trying to perform a solving on that. And we actually stop devotees as well, and things like that, which actually have been ordained by senior Vaishnavas and the temple authorities. And we may offend devotees as a result. What happens in that case?
You have to be very careful how you do it. I see on like Janmashtami, they almost like push people past the duty. That shouldn't be done like that. Sometimes I say to the devotees, don't push them, just let them, you know, okay, there's so many people there. But, you know, just let them have darshan for a few seconds. Okay, you can politely say, move on. Always be respectful. Fold your hands and be respectful to them. You know, please, move. Okay. But you know, there's a different way of doing it. Instead of like, you know, hey, come on, move. Sometimes it's going, come on, go on. So how can they even peacefully look at the deity? You've got someone next to you just going, come on, go on. It's not peaceful. So you just say, let them move like that. So it's the attitude in which we do it also. You know, things like, you know, if you have to stop them from going a particular way, you know, because the temple has all this system, and so you have to stop people, then that's our duty. We have to control the crowd. So. But once again, it should be done in a respectful way from our side. And then if they become upset, then what can we do? We need a bigger temple. Any other points?
Are there different relations for different opportunities? For the degree of severity, is this opportunity that you need behind
you? Yeah, it's pretty much from 1 to 6 it becomes more serious as it goes down. Pretty much.
Very high deviation for Indra and Vatanya, very important, respectful opportunity. There is an atonement within the heart of the different deviation.
A very powerful devotee. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Brihaspati himself. Yeah. And Prabhupada points out, because he was coming every day, then they just kind of got used to him. Oh, there's Brihaspati, but it's not like that. That's why we have to be careful with the devotees. Because you see them every day or regularly, and then it just becomes familiar. And sometimes they may treat you familiar, but you don't treat them familiar. Sometimes the guru treats you familiar, but you don't do it for them. Just like one devotee told me, he went to see Burujanta during Vrindavan, and when he walked in the room, Burujanta would grab him and threw him on the bed and started punching him. Not hard, but like, you know. So, you know, you don't go and see Burujanta next time and then grab him and put him on the bed and stuff like that. Because then that's overstepping the familiarity. So the same devotee may do it to you, but you don't do it to the same devotee. Any other points?
So the reason for this fasting is, if the offense is not so big of him, but the reason for that offense, he laments so much because of that offense. Somebody, you know, Krishna imposed him in a lot of offense. And I mean, we can grow because of that offense. That's what he condemns himself. So when somebody, you know, is given so much opulence or something, how we should think of it?
It belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna that they should come. That's because you don't think that everything belongs to Krishna. If you think everything belongs to Krishna, then you have to need to become proud. So you should voluntarily keep your life very simple. Don't make your life complicated. Don't become a bogey or one who tries to enjoy material objects. Aishwaryasya, Bhoga Aishwarya Prasakdhanam. If you become too attached to Bhoga Aishwarya, then resolute determination to devotion and service is not the place. Any other point? Because of your... we already read that one. Oh Indra, your enemies, the demons, were extremely weak because of their disrespect towards Shukracharya. But since they had now worshipped Shukracharya with great devotion, they had again become powerful. By their devotion to Shukracharya, they have increased their strength so much that now they are even able to easily seize my abode from me. So we'll read the purport for this verse. Muhammad?
Oh Indra, sorry. Lord Brahma wanted to point out to demigods that by the strength of the Guru, one can become more powerful in the world. And by the displeasure of the Guru, one can lose everything. This is confirmed by the song of Vishnu Chakravarti Sadhu. Yes, Prashada, Bhagavat Prashado. Yes, Prashada, Nagati Kuru. By the mercy of the Spiritual Master, one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the Master, one cannot make any advancement. Although demons are insignificant in comparison to Lord Brahma, because of the strength of their Guru, they were so powerful that they could even seize Brahmlok from Lord Brahma. We therefore pray to the Spiritual Master. Mukham Karoti Vachalam, Pangum Lankhe Viram, Yatripadam Mande, Sri Guru Dintarana. By the mercy of Guru, even a dumb man can become the greatest orator. And even a lame man can cross mountains. As advised by Lord Brahma, one should remember this shastic injunction to one desired success in life. We see examples here over. In the case of all two, by following the sensors, best example would be. Whenever somebody tried to glorify Prabhupada, he said, this is all my Krishna Master mercy. He never took any compliment upon himself.
Srimad Bhagavatam uses a very strong example to draw the point. So, Indra is a very powerful being, just like the many gods. He's not really opulent. If an ordinary example would have been given, the fact that the Indra is sent into the picture, it makes a
difference. Any other point?
You said that to get to the higher planet, one has to perform many pious activities. And know, this is because of the credit what they accumulated to go to the heavenly planets. And where there is no suffering, no old age, death is there ultimately. And it's more of an environment. But here you see, demons and demigods look like they are pretty much living on the same planets. Then whenever demigods are becoming weak, demons are attacking them. And also, as in the verse earlier, demigods were they're losing their arms and in a very miserable condition. So how can we understand, in heavenly planets, the same type of misery is what we experience?
Because that's kind of the guru.
No, but is it that demons live on the same planets? How do the demons get there?
Or your thoughts? Space crops. What is Indra? He travels around on an elephant. Shiva travels around on a bull. Kartikeya travels around on a peacock. Ganesh on a rat. Brahma on a swan. So they take whatever they take. So, how does one become empowered in devotional service? By serving the spiritual master. And pleasing the spiritual master. Now Prabhupada points out that we can serve and satisfy the spiritual master and receive his mercy by serving the Bapu and by serving the Bani. You see, some devotees, they didn't get a lot of personal association with Prabhupada. One example that always comes to my mind is His Holiness Shivaram Swami. He didn't get a lot of personal association with Prabhupada, but he's become very empowered in devotional service. So it's not that simply those who get very close proximity to the Guru can become empowered by the Guru. Even Prabhupada himself didn't get a lot of association with Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. He became the most empowered disciple or associate of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. So Prabhupada says that if we serve the Vani very carefully, the instructions of the Guru very carefully, we get the mercy of Krishna, we get the mercy of the Guru, and we become empowered, as Prabhupada said, to perform Herculean tasks. To perform great things in Krishna's service. This can all be done when one becomes very strict in following the order of the spiritual master. If you can serve the Bapu, or the personal form of the Guru, then you should serve the Bapu as much as you can. If you can personally get the association of the Guru, then get as much association as you can. But if you cannot get the personal association of the Guru, then serve the Vani of the Guru. Or serve both, whatever is practical. Any questions?
In Vishnu Purana, it's mentioned very clearly that when the demons served the Sutraman Sutracharya, they became really very poor.
That's what happened. Because of their firm determination to follow the instructions of Shukracharya, his disciples, the demons, are now unconcerned about the demigods. In fact, kings or others who have determined faith in the mercy of brahmanas, cows, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and who always worship these three, are always strong in their position. So Prabhupada is basically saying this is the key to success in Krishna consciousness. You have to serve cows, brahmanas, and Krishna himself, Govinda. So this is how we become successful in our Krishna consciousness. We serve brahminical devotees, or devotees who have very high spiritual standards, who are very elevated spiritually. Those devotees who are very advanced in Krishna consciousness, we serve them. Then we serve the deity very carefully. And we serve the cows very carefully. So by observing respect and service and worship to these three, all of our success in Krishna consciousness can come. So all these three need to be respected and worshipped. It's like I was speaking in the Srinivasa Prabhu just a few minutes before the class. So he is doing great work around ISKCON to elevate the standards of deity worship. Because up until now, even in ISKCON, there haven't been like consistent standards all around our society. So he is making sure now there are consistent standards, and it's not always popular. I often hear people criticise him and say, "Oh, it's too strict, it's too strict." But fact is, there are consistent standards which need to be met. Krishna needs to be worshipped very seriously, very respectfully. And a lot of the problems our society has had is because we've not worshipped the deities properly. We don't worship the deities properly in any respect, and that's when problems happen in our society so many times. Similarly, we don't give proper respect to the brahmanas, or those devotees who are very advanced. Sometimes we don't give them proper respect and facility. Someone who is a brahman in Vedic culture, a brahminical person, does not have to worry about his maintenance. He is maintained. That's why it says the religious principle of the brahmana is to receive charity and then to use that charity in the service of Krishna. So he doesn't have anxiety because he is maintained. So those who are advanced devotees in our society, they should not have any anxiety. They should just be maintained, free from anxiety. Then they can advance nicely in Krishna consciousness and they can assist us to advance. And then similarly we should worship the cows. This is something we've also not had great success with in ISKCON, looking after the cows properly. Actually, I read the report, the Minister of Cow Protection, Balabhadra Prabhu, his last year report, and he's not satisfied with the way, generally, we're looking after our cows in ISKCON. Even in Mayapur and Vrindavan, he said he wasn't satisfied with Goroshabha. There needs to be more care put into cow protection in our society. Prabhupada was very emphatic on this point. So we need to do these things. Then our movement will be extremely successful. And we will also become successful in our spiritual life. Any points?
What will happen with cow? How do we act in worship cow personally? We are not very cows enough here for that.
Yeah, the cows have to be looked after, they have to be facilitated. Yeah, you can give Lakshmi for the cows, but it means they have to be looked after properly. Like Prabhupada Prabhu was saying that in some of the goshalas, they don't have room to move properly. So they're all just squashed in. At least the good part about our farm is that our cows, we have one cow and one bull left, but they have plenty of room, plenty of grass. Yeah, they have a very natural life, which is good. But many of our goshalas don't have that kind of facility. And the cows need to be looked after, just like you look after your children or your mother. They need to be protected and looked after like that. That should be the move. Any other point? O demigods, I instruct you to approach Vishwarupa, the son of Twashta, and accept him as your guru. He is pure and very powerful. He is a pure and very powerful brahmana undergoing austerity and penances. Pleased by your worship, he will fulfill your desires, provided that you tolerate his being inclined to side with the demons. So, in general, the principle is we should be very careful who we accept as our guru. Choose your guru very carefully. When choosing guru, we should not have materialistic concepts in our mind. In other words, you should not choose the guru according to material concerns. Oh, I think this person speaks very nicely, or that person, or they do like this, or they do. It should not be seen from a material point of view. One should choose the guru from the heart. Also from the intellect. One should study the guru very carefully, but also from the heart. It should be felt very strongly, ultimately, that this is my spiritual master. So it should not be based on material calculations. Oh, this person has so many disciples, or I will get association with that person, or, you know, we have so many material concepts. It should not be chosen like that. We have to choose very carefully the spiritual master. It should not be done in a materialistic way. But rather than spiritual consciousness, then we should see this person is qualified to lead me back home, back to Godhead. And this should be our, the way we choose who we become initiated by. Any points? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus advised by Lord Brahma and relieved of their anxiety, all the demigods went to the sage Vishwarupa, the son of Vashta. My dear king, they embraced him and spoke as follows. The demigod said, beloved Vishwarupa, may there be all good fortune to you. We the demigods have come to your ashram as your guests. Please try to fulfill our desires according to the time, since we are on the level of your parents. A Brahmana, the highest duty of a son, even though he has sons of his own, is to serve his parents. I want to speak of a son who is a Brahmachari. The Acharya, the spiritual master who teaches all the Vedic knowledge and gives initiation by offering the sacred thread, is personification of all the Vedas. Similarly, a father personifies Lord Brahma, a brother King Indra, a mother the planet Earth, and a sister Mercy. A guest personifies religious principles, and invited guest personifies the demigod Agni. And all living entities personify Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as we've said previously, that Vedic culture is based upon offering respect. But the respect should not be superficial. We have to be very careful of this. Sometimes, devotees, they offer respect, but it becomes almost like a superficial type of respect, or not a very heartfelt type of respect. Or sometimes there's too much respect, and it becomes almost like sickly sweet. You know, sometimes devotees do like that. So they're giving you so much respect. And it's interesting, actually, because if you read Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this section, the demigods are saying, you are so qualified, you are so qualified. And at one point he says, what do you want? And Vishwarupa says to the demigods, what do you want? He said, enough with all the on and on and on. You know, like I gave a class recently in Melbourne, in the morning, in the Bhagavatam class. So we emphasize to the devotees, it's become a habit. When I joined, it wasn't like this, but in the last 10 years or so, it's become a habit. The people say Prabhu or Matiji 97 times every time they have a conversation with you. Oh, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. I'm sorry, Prabhu. Oh, Prabhu. Oh, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Oh, Prabhu. Oh, Prabhuji. Yes. Prabhu. Yes. Oh, Matiji. Oh, Matiji. Oh, sorry, Matiji. Oh, Matiji. Oh, Matiji. Please, Matiji. Oh, Matiji. Oh, no, Matiji. You know, like, when I joined, it wasn't like that. Yeah, you would say Mataji or Prabhu at the beginning of the conversation, at the end of the conversation. It's almost become like a sickly sweet kind of a habit. And devotees, they do it all the time. And I know Western devotees, it drives them nuts. You know, you can't even have a conversation with someone and they don't say Mataji 6 times in the conversation. Or they don't say Prabhu 9 times in the sentence. It's not natural. Right? That's not respect. Respect is something which is heartfelt. It's not just some sort of superficial...
Sure.
Yeah, like show of respect or a superficial, like an artificial type of a respect. But it should be a heartfelt respect. So this is what is being spoken of here, that the demigod, they're offering respect to him, and then he says, what do you want? What's actually going on here? Enough with all the respect. What is it you're actually talking about? So this should be the way devotees relate to each other. It should be real. It should not be diplomatic. And sometimes it becomes very diplomatic amongst devotees, like that, offering all this respect. And then what's the real heart intent? What is the real motivation which is there? So, any points?
Body language is the indicator of the other person.
Yeah, to a large degree. But even still, we should understand this. Because like I said, when I joined, it wasn't like that. And if you go to cultured people in India, they don't act like that. Oh, Prabhu, oh, Prabhu, oh, Prabhu, oh, Prabhu. It's like, it's not natural to speak like that.
Because it creates a barrier between those.
Yeah, it creates a barrier, and it's also, I mean, it's being respectful, but it's being, to me, it comes across almost as, it's like a sickly type of, it's like putting too much sugar. You just put too much sugar in any taste, it's just like, you know, it's like too much. Like that. So it becomes like that, it's too much respect, and it's not much. And actually, there's one saying in the one Vedic saying that actually too much respect is the sign of a thief. If someone's giving you too much respect, it means they're hiding something. Like a thief. Actually, maybe they're just envious. But they're offering all this respect, but it's not really heartfelt. So you have to be very careful about it. It should be real. Any points?
In regards to the offense number two, to pay offer respect to other situations, sometimes if you see that, you know, it's a broad congregation, with any devotee, some particular devotee, we are not in the proper terms or, you know, and if we, because we meet quite often, is it okay that if we are not in the proper terms, to avoid each association, because that may lead to an offense? Is it okay or is it still an offense? Like, minimize his association, or you think, okay, I'd better keep away, like, you know, associating more with everybody.
Yeah, it's like some people, because of our conditioned nature, we just have different natures. So I know, like, myself and some devotees, we just have very different natures. So we automatically don't get along so well. We're just very different in our personality. So generally what happens is that when you become like a more experienced devotee, when you associate with them, like you just know, you both know it. You just don't kind of get along so well. And we say things which will somehow or other kind of irritate the other person. So you just have like pleasant exchange, but you keep a little distance also. You just know, both you know, that it's a bit like that. But you're not disrespectful, you're respectful, but you just keep a little distance also. Because you both kind of know that there's something, you know, which may, you know, just become irritating to the other person. So, you know, you have to learn to respect everyone, treat everyone nicely, but at the same time you may have to keep some distance. Okay. Any other points?
They also say that don't go too close to the horse. He might hit you dead.
That's the police officer, isn't it? That they never go behind the horse in front of the police officer. That's the Indian thing. You know, if you go behind the horse and hit you, if you go in front of the officer, they will ask you to do something. Doesn't, I think, not of the
not in the Bhagavad Gita, but maybe true. Do you have a point?
Yes, sir. I think first, year ago, I was listening to the lecture of Maharaj, was mentioning that whenever you ask a question from a Guru, Maharaj, Guru, then you should don't straight away ask more questions. You should actually respect him first, and then I could understand that why it is difficult to listen. But he was mentioning that Arjuna was always praising Krishna before, oh Madhusudana, oh Rishikesh, and then he was presenting his point. That's the etiquette that you should respect the Guru or any senior Vaishnava.
Yeah, so then you might say before you speak to him or ask him a question, you might say Maharaj, and then you know, you address him with respect, and then you ask your question. Maybe that's one. Any other point? Dear son, we have been defeated by our enemies, and therefore we are very much aggrieved. Please mercifully fulfill our desires by relieving our distress through the strength of your austerities. Please fulfill our prayers. Since you are completely aware of the Supreme Brahman, you are a perfect Brahmana, and therefore you are the spiritual master of all orders of life. We accept you as our spiritual master and director, so that by the power of your austerity, we may easily defeat the enemies who have conquered us. The demigods continue, do not fear criticism for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras. Except in relationship to Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age, but one may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are junior in relationship to us, you may become our priest without hesitation. So what are the classifications for offering respect? We've gone through this in the past, in our Bhakti Vaibhava class. Age is one. Seniority is one.
Age is another qualification.
Age is one, yeah. That's all. Let's just pick it. It is one. So just pick one.
Material position.
Material position?
Yeah. Then be or sure.
Spiritual qualification, that's the most important. Yeah. No, no, that's who we should protect. That's a different, there's five innocent people. So according to seniority or age, you say age, not seniority, age. Then you say seniority in terms of who has been a devotee longer, like that. And then vana, like the sudra, the vaishya, and the chatur will offer respect to the brahmana. And then ashrama, for the brahmachari, the grihastha, and the vanaprastha will offer respect to the sannyasi. And then, more important than vana and ashram and seniority and age is spiritual advancement. So if someone is very spiritually advanced, then we offer respect to them. Even if they're very young or apparently less qualified than us in other ways, because they, it's very clear they are spiritually advanced, and we should offer respect to those people. Any points? Senior means they've been around longer than you. And spiritually advanced means they're more spiritually advanced than you. So they may not have even been around longer than you. It's like someone may join, they may not be a devotee as long as you, but they're quite clearly more advanced or more pure in heart. So you have to offer respect to them. Initiation, you could say, like seniority.
One may be in a moment 20 years, but maybe has a 12th initiation, but somebody may be 5 years and has a different.
Yeah, so then the person who has been 5 years, he should offer respect to the person who has been 20 years.
Even though he's Brahmana and the other one is not.
Yeah, so then the person who has been 20 years offer respect to them because they are Brahmana. But then, the other person should offer respect to them because they're senior.
One example comes to my mind. The Sukadeva Goswami, when he was preaching to King Parikshit, everybody stood.
Yeah. That's an example of seniority. Because when Sukadeva Goswami came in, and he was obviously spiritually the most advanced, all the sages who were much more senior to him in age, everyone rose. The only two people who didn't rise was Narada and Vyasadeva. Because Vyasa was the father, Narada was the guru of the father. They didn't stand up, but still he was put on the Vyasa-san above them. So out of etiquette they didn't stand, but they still accepted that he was the most enlightened personality. So Sukadeva Goswami would give him the most respect, even though he was younger than all the sages present. Sukadeva Goswami continued, when all the demigods requested the great Vishwarupa to be their priest, Vishwarupa, who was advanced in austerities, was very pleased. He replied to them as follows. Sri Vishwarupa said, O demigods, although the acceptance of priesthood is decried as causing the loss of previously acquired brahminical power, how can someone like me refuse to accept your personal request? You are all exalted commanders of the entire universe. I am your disciple and must take many lessons from you. Therefore, I cannot refuse you. I must agree for my own benefit. So it is explained in the Prabhupada by Prabhupada and also Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur that when someone performs a jagya, he becomes like a priest on behalf of another person, then he loses some of his pious credits or some of his austerity, like that. But that is not the case in devotional service. When we do service for another person, or we perform jagyas, for example, for another person, we don't lose our spiritual advancement. But rather you progress in your spiritual advancement. So on a material platform, they become, the Brahmanas become concerned about these things, losing their Brahminical tejas, or their advancement in their spiritual progress. But in Krishna consciousness, nothing is lost. When you do service, when you do jagyas, when you do anything, you only advance, you only progress towards Krishna. So nothing is taken away. O exalted governors of various planets, the true Brahmana, with no material possessions, maintains himself by the profession of accepting Savonshana. In other words, he picks up grain left in the field and on the ground in the wholesale marketplace. By this means, household of Brahmanas, who actually abide by the principles of austerity and penance, maintain themselves and their families and perform all necessary pious activities. A Brahmana who desires to achieve happiness by gaining wealth through professional priesthood must certainly have a very low mind. How shall I accept such priesthood? So, when we're looking for someone to put our faith in, just like the demigods, they have faith in this personality, Vishwarupa. So what makes us have faith in someone? Why do we have faith in another devotee? When they become sense-controlled. If they have control of their senses, then we have faith in the person. We think, yes, I can trust this person. Because he will not, he can control his senses, so he will not let me down. Or he will not disappoint me. Similarly, when someone is austere, this means he has control of his senses. So we have faith in the person. And ultimately, when we see someone is very devoted to Krishna, or very advanced in Krishna consciousness, then we have faith in that person. So this is the criteria when we're looking at advancement in other devotees. We see these things. If someone is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, naturally we develop great faith in that person. All of you are my superiors. Therefore, although accepting priesthood is sometimes reproachable, I cannot refuse even a small request from you. I agree to be your priest. I shall fulfill your request by dedicating my life and possessions. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, after making this promise to the demigods, the exalted Vishwarupa, surrounded by the demigods, perform the necessary priestly activities with great enthusiasm and attention. The opulence of the demons, who are generally known as the enemies of the demigods, was protected by the talents and tactics of Shukracharya. But Vishwarupa, who was most powerful, composed a protective prayer known as the Narayan Kavacha. By this intelligent mantra, he took away the opulence of the demons and gave it to Mahendra, the king of heaven. Vishwarupa, who was most liberal, spoke to King Indra, Sahasraksha, the secret hymn that protected Indra and conquered the military power of the demons. So in the next chapter, we will hear about the Narayan Kavacha, which is very powerful. Okay. Any points?
Indra was concerned about this possession there, like, considering that demons were captured him. But does it mean that he was not concerned about his guru? That his guru is angry and didn't do anything about
time for her supper.
When he went to Brahma, he said that I'm afraid that he was being captured and that he was not concerned that he would have asked him to another
place. No, no, he was concerned. It's already mentioned that he was concerned. Any other point?
My understanding is when you actually offend your spiritual master, your devotional life is finished, literally. And here it shows there is an alternative that they have to actually approach someone else to actually rectify the situation. How do you understand that?
No, it means he still has to approach Srihaspati, but Srihaspati is hiding from him, basically. Okay. So, you still have to rectify the offense by approaching the person that you offended, which is something that he does. He does do it. Okay. He hasn't done it yet, but he does do it. Any other point? Okay. So what are we going to do about this exam? Because it's supposed to be on Monday, as we've announced. Some devotees have approached us and said it would be better if it was another week later, for several reasons. I don't have a problem with that. As I said to the devotees, you should have contacted me before, because now it's just created confusion. So it's not very good management on behalf of those who have requested this. I don't know how to, because now we've got to contact everyone and let them know. So if we do postpone, that's why last night we could have, if it hadn't been organised ahead of time, we could have let everyone know appropriately. So I don't mind having it the week after, but my concern is some devotees will turn up next week not knowing, and there won't be an exam. So please advise me how we can rectify this issue. All right. So we'll send out. So the exam is not next week; it's the following Monday. So all exams must be handed in at that time. All oral presentations must be completed, and all open book exams must be handed in.
What is it?
For them, is it? For them. Shilaprabhupada.